are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Matthew 23 and verse 13. Read for our text. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read this scripture as our text tonight, showing that Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees because of their attitude, and because, Lord, that they would not go in themselves, but they would prevent others from going in. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help us to see how that ties with what your prophet says tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening, we'll take just one thought from paragraph 128 that Brother Braff speaks of in his sermon, Rising of the Sun. And that concerns the organizational spirit that would prevent people from coming to the truth. In this paragraph, Brother Ram speaks to us of his desire to hold more meetings in Africa, but how the ministers have tried to prevent his coming again. And this is exactly what Jesus was talking about in our text that we read tonight, Matthew 23. And that is what I've experienced as well myself in Africa from A to Z, from Angola to Zimbabwe. The local ministers in Tanzania and DRC and Uganda tried to prevent the meetings from attending, and the ministers from attending our meetings. In fact, when we flew into in 2006 to Uganda, a few days before I flew in, three ministers from the Carolinas flew in, and they proceeded to go to all the churches in the area and tell them, and my meetings were supposed to be in Kampala until a week later. I went to Rwanda first, and then when we got back, there was all buzz. The phones were ringing nonstop from all the ministers, apparently, these ministers went to all the churches around. We had invited 60 ministers, and they were trying to get the ministers not to attend. They're saying I was preaching two gods and everything else. Well, we ended up with 250 ministers because it backfired up. People are curious now. What is this guy preaching? That? So, anyway, we ended up with 250 ministers. But we had the same thing in Tanzania and in DRC. The ministers actually boycotted our meetings to try to get others to. They didn't tell their churches at all about it. And even the government in Gabon did the same thing. When I was in Congo in 2004, the government sent two spies to see what I was preaching because ministers came from several countries, of which some countries had opposed the new Congo government. We had brothers from Sweden and New Zealand as well come with us. So the United Nations actually had a... Well, there was a kind of a shootout as well a few days before we came. So they had spies that were sent in. They told the hosting pastor that first of all, they apologized. Said, you know, we're not really ministers. They had the minister tag on their shirt, you know, and said, you know, minister, and they had a name of a church. But they apologized after the service. They said, we're not ministers. We came to spy out. Our government sent us to spy to see what's going on here. But they told the pastor that they were really glad they came because they had never heard the Word of God preached so deeply yet so clearly, and they said they wanted what we have. It's like when the FBI came to spy out Brother Branham's meetings and two of them got converted. So some places the ministers were successful in preventing others from attending our meetings, and another place I agreed to hold three to four meetings and ended up with one. In fact, I paid for those meetings. I purchased a tent and everything else. When I got there, I was only allowed to preach once, and I was scheduled to preach four times. So, you know, those things you have to deal with. Brother Vail told me that the same thing happened to Brother Bram in New York. Brother Bram was invited to come and speak in a big place in New York, and they advertised all over the city to get people to come. And then when the service took place, Brother Branham was not even allowed to come out of the office. He wasn't allowed to even come out to the platform. They used his name to draw the crowd. They used his name to get the money, but they wouldn't let him preach. You see? So he's kept in the study the entire meeting. And Brother Bill was so upset. He said, Brother Brown, Brother Bill, he said, do you want us to bypass the ministers altogether? We'll advertise, we'll draw the crowd, we'll get the people, you know, we'll go directly to the people. And Brother Brown said, no, Brother Lee, we can't do that. He said, God has an order, and we have to go through the ministers. So, anyway. With that in mind, I'd like to read paragraph 128 of The Rising of the Sun. Brother Brown said, now, God bless you. I've kept you here a long time. If them people still is on the telephone, and they sure at 50 cents a minute, they'd really paid this morning, but I just couldn't stop at an hour. I just had to go on. Now, the Lord willing, I'll be back tonight to talk with you again, and if I can't, then you all know we're on telephone no more. Oh, not on telephone no more. Okay. You all know where I'm going, don't you? I'm going to Africa. I've called for a long time. For years, I've tried to get back. Now, a vision, the Spirit of the Lord has prepared the way. And they said when those poor natives heard it, that I didn't come the last time, they laid on the ground day and night and moaned and cried, saying, Lord, what have we done? Thousands of them. Those people don't even believe that they got a soul, see? And they cried and they moaned and they cried, and don't you send no word ahead. Please don't. See, a brother I was saying that to the people now, don't you send no word ahead. Please don't. See, if that visa would happen to go through there and get amongst them ministers, they'd stop me right there. I have to go in as a hunter. So Brother Branham went as a hunter, but he was not allowed to hold any meetings. When some brethren did come to see him off, he gave a few spoken words in the paragraph below. Now, apparently he was at a church service, and he was asked to stand up and say a few words to the brethren, and so he did. It was called Brother Branham's Last Visit to South Africa, and it was on the 27th of May, 1965. And it actually had a Voice of God number 650527, but they've pulled it since, and you can only get the text online. And it's just one paragraph. He said, this is one of the highest moments of my life. I've waited 15 years for this time. My heart has longed to see you again ever since I left you. I prayed very much to come back, and a few weeks ago I was under great anticipation, believing that I would get to come and have a meeting. But when I got the visa, it said restricted. I almost had a heart attack. I wanted to come so bad. But I do believe that through God, I will minister again in the name of the Lord Jesus among the people of Africa. God has promised to give us the desire of our heart. And that's one of the desires of my heart. I can remember the great meetings here in Johannesburg. I remember the boy with the short leg coming along again, normal. And that lady, the little girl, was healed from back condition, and her mother fainted and fell back in the cot. And then the translator says, that was my wife's cousin. Your wife? Oh my, there's so many great things, no doubt. There are so many of these people attended those meetings are with the Lord now. I have gotten old too since then. It won't be too long till my time to go up. Then we will be together forever. No visas, haha. I would feel like bringing the message, ha, and then he laughs again. But it is written in the scripture, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. I am expecting to meet you here in a few moments and shake your hands and have fellowship again together. I appreciate all of these fine men, and I wish that I had all my brethren in Africa here today of all the denominations, that we could just get along together and talk all evening. And I would like to hear what the Lord's been doing over here for you. And I would like to tell you what He's doing for us across the sea. Maybe He will permit that someday. Until that day, I will be praying for you. I will be praying, and will you be praying for me? God bless you. So Brother Branham was a real gentleman. He just said, look, I can't, as much as I want to preach, I'm restricted on my visa, and I have to render to Caesar what's Caesar's. So you see, Brother Branham was not allowed to hold meetings in the country, and when he returned from Africa, he spoke of what happened in his very first sermon after he returned, called Ashamed of Him. And that's a very appropriate title to that sermon, because it speaks of the attitude of the churches and how they are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm just going to lay out one paragraph for you, but there's actually about five or six that I had to take out of the sermon just to make it so that it wouldn't be so long tonight. But Brother Brown gets into how it's the ministers that were involved with it. Brother Brown said, and I want to get with the trustees and the elders here while I'm here. This is becoming everywhere. We're living in these days these last days to where the gospel does not have the preeminence as it should have. It don't have the rights that it should have. It's all sewed up in politics and things, and just like a union. And that's what is finally coming to, because the mark of the beast has to come by union. We know. So because it's a boycott. No man can buy or sell save him that have the mark of the beast. All right. Now from the Church Age book, Ephesian Church Age, looking at this topic here of organizing and you'll die. Brother Bram said, but as usual, people don't need God's warning, or they don't heed God's warning. That revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful, and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed, that a little fear creeps in, and a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth that we have? How can we, what can we do to see that this revival continues, or goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and he whispers, look, you have the truth now, see that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up a creed of what you believe, put it in all the church manual, and they do it, and they organize, and they add to the word, and they die. Just like Eve did for taking one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life, and it's not what we say about the word that counts, but it's what God said. Amen. That's why even Brother Branham himself said, I am not infallible. He said, but God's word is infallible. All right? And you have to understand that he was preaching the word. That word is infallible. But, man himself is not. Brother Ransom, I could say words and I could be wrong in things, but he said God's word is never wrong. So, when we have to add our own words to try to establish it, there's something wrong. We should be able to say it just like he said it. John 14:12 says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. We shouldn't have to get in and say, well, now he, that's singular, and therefore, and forget it. He that believeth. Are you a believer, brother? The works that I do shall you do also. Are you a believer, brother? Are you a believer, sister? The works that I do shall you do also. It's not that difficult. We should. Brother Branham was a literalist when it comes to the word. He took it for what it meant. People don't take God at His word. They try to like Sarah did with Abraham. All right. Well, God can't do it through me. I mean, I'm 90 years old. So you know what? Take Hagar. Take my wife Hagar. We'll produce the promise for God, and it caused nothing but a bunch of trouble. We're having the trouble today. Mm-hmm. See.
From the message I have heard, but now I see, he said, the critics say, why would a God of mercy could open the Red Sea, stand, let them poor Christians be eaten up by the lion and burnt and everything, set up just like he laughed about it, the poor ignoramus. Did he not know, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground? It had to die through those ages, those dark ages, like any other corn of wheat. It has to go beneath the earth and be buried to bring forth... In the first Reformation, them two blades of Luther, the stalk, it had to come forth in the Wesleyan out yonder to bring forth the pollen, the tassel, the great missionary age. It had to come forth in the Pentecostal for the restoration of the gifts, almost to deceive the very elected. Looks like a wheat grain. Open it up, but there's no wheat there at all. It's only a shuck. But back in there then, they begin to form the oneness organization. They begin to form the Trinity organization. They begin to form the Tunis organization and the Church of God organization, and all organized and all just death exactly. So Trinity death, oneness death, two-ness death. You can't make an organization out of it. It's a relationship. It's a revelation. See? And now what happens? But it's a shelter of the weak. It's been growing through it all the time. Now it begins to pull away and the wheat begins to be seen. This is not a Pentecostal age. This is the Latter-day age. This is the bright age. This is the evening light. This is when Malachi 4 must be fulfilled to follow God's pattern. This is Luke 17:30 to be fulfilled. This is the book of Jeremiah and all the rest of them that Joel has spoken of in these days. This is that day. I have heard, Lord, that it was coming, but now I see it with my own eyes. All right, now from I have heard, but now we see. Again, he says, now everybody knows that we have a promise of the church condition in the last day. The church in its present condition can never fulfill the commandments of God, the Great Commission. Could never call the bride out. Which one would do it? the Pentecostals? I should say not. None of the rest of them. That's the shuck that's on the wheat that come out. Look just exactly like the wheat, but there was no wheat to it. It opens up, but the grain comes out of that. They organize and they kill themselves. There's where they die. Their stalks. But the wheat has come up through there, and now it begins to form in the bride form. The corn of wheat that fell into the ground through the dark ages, it had to die. And so Brother Ram says, look, they all organize. Every single time God sends a message, they organize that message around a specific doctrine, or a doctrine, or this doctrine. And when you organize around that doctrine, you're dead. The life keeps moving on. From trying to do God a service without it being His will, it said, and any man that builds anything, any organization, or anything outside of upon the Word of God is shaking sands and will fail and will fall. It'll die as sure as anything, because the Word of God is a growing body of the bride. You can't have it all foot, all arm, all thigh. These things come in their season. The Pentecost, you made it all one thing. Therefore, you can't accept new revelation. That's the problem with people who put it all in Brother Branham, and you can't accept new revelation. You can't accept the fact that these signs are followed them that believe. You can't accept the fact the life of Christ and the works of Christ are to be in the bride. I mean, if you've got the nature, if you've got the same Holy Spirit, you're going to have the same nature, the same life. Well, wouldn't you do the same things?
Amen.
You know, like Brother Bill always said, if the board is oak at the front and oak at the end, it's oak in the middle. You see? That's the reason you stay right where you are and you die. It moves on. So much don't want to wear you out, but God doesn't change His mind. His first decision is exactly right. So God doesn't change His mind. He just lets you go on in your own, in your permissive will. But, oh, God's a good God, as Oral Roberts says. He's also a fearful God. And from the power of transformation, Brother Ram said, now, here come a Pentecostal along, and he can't. Now, look what he done. He organized. It can't rebreed itself. They can have Oral Roberts's and everything else all over the country. You cannot do it. It'll hang right back to that old natural breed of the mule. It cannot. No matter how many injections it has, it's still how many of the spiritual affairs it has and whatever it has, and you're adults and you know what I'm talking about. No matter how many husbands and wives it has and whatever more, and how many sisters, little sisters it builds up out here in little churches and organizations, it can't breed a revival. It's finished. It's crossed up to the world from the Word of God, and it cannot reproduce itself again. God will raise up some other something and start His Word moving on, and if it organizes, it'll die too. That's right. It can't reproduce itself because it's a hybrid. That's correct. In Brother Bram's sermon entitled The Masterpiece, paragraph 119, he shows how the church is rejecting the Word and squeezing out the life of the Word. The cares of this life has entered into the church, and the people have lost their heart for the Word of God because they have become soft and they have lost their focus on God's Word in having in favor of focusing on the cares of this life. In paragraph 136, Brother Bram said, But what denominated dies? Like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley it went to Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed. On to Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost come out of Wesley because it was no denomination. Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. In other words, it's all dried up and shriveled. And then what happened? It died right there. Now notice, he said, as soon as it began to denominate, right there it died. And so we see the denomination shows that the life has gone out, because to denominate means to set a specific value on that thing. When we talk in terms of currency, we say, what denomination of bills do you have? Do you have a 1, 5, 10, maybe you have a 2, you know. But the word denomination, according to our dictionary, has several other meanings, but they all speak of one central theme. While I read the definitions, I want you to think in terms of what theme carries throughout these definitions. 1, a large group of religious or congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. 2, one of the series of kinds, values, or sizes, as in a system of currency or weights. Cash registers have compartments for bills of different denominations. The stamps come in 25 cents and 45 cent denominations. A name, number 3, a name or designation, especially for a class or a group. Now notice that each example of denomination speaks of an assessed value, a size, or kind. Remember, every seed after is kind. Okay, so you see, when we think in terms of denomination, we must think in terms of what value or assessment is associated with the denomination that we speak of. And it does not matter what they hold to, for a vindicated prophet told us, when they denominate, they die right there. Now, Brother Branham used to train his children, and you know, if you have children of your own, you should be training them. And he would turn on the radio when they're driving down the road, and he'd say, "Now, I want you to pay close attention to what this minister says." And he'd turn on a preacher, you know. And they'd listen for 5 minutes, and he said, "Now, in 5 minutes, I want you to tell me what denomination they are." And you can tell because that's their focus. Every denomination has their specific focus, and if you have just that little focus, look, if your focus is just so focused on one thing, on one doctrine per se, then you've organized around that thing. The Word of God is life to us, you see? And we should be focused on Christ. Christ has many aspects to it. So you see that to denominate means certain death to the church. And what does that mean? It means that the life has left it, and they are now holding to a value that they have assigned. In other words, if the word they preached and emphasized was a certain thing, then if God brings further light upon that certain thing, or even upon another thing, and the people see that other thing does not hold the same value to them as the thing that they already have, then they turn it aside, and right there they have denominated. And right there God can no longer help them because they have turned down further light from His Word. I just got an email from a certain brother, and I asked him where he's been attending church, and he said, "Well, in this area that I go, there's about a handful of churches." And I said, "I attended them all, but I decided to settle in on this one." And this one, he basically every sermon he preaches on the Godhead. All right. Well, that was fine for a period of time. I tell you what, you got to keep moving as the light moves. Mm-hmm. And you can preach Godhead only, and the people are going to starve because they have no life. You don't get the life out of understanding Godhead. You get the life out of understanding the relationship that God had with His Son. Now, that is why they hold to the attitude that, bless God, we have a problem. And they will not open themselves to other God-sent fivefold ministries that God has placed in the church, and those people dry up and the life goes out of them. Yeah. Now, they got religion. But eternal life is living for others. And what if God sends them a teacher and they refuse the teaching? Then they refuse the Holy Ghost because the Apostle John told us that the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And what if that teacher leaves and the people refuse any other gift that God has placed in the church? Then the people will never come to maturity and the life will move on and they will dry up and miss what God continues to do through the gifts that He has placed in the church. Now, Paul told us that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the church, and God placed it in the church. So if God placed it in the church, you show me where He took it out. That means the finishing off or coming into maturity and full expression. So to turn down the fivefold ministry and to make it a one or two-fold ministry means the people have placed a certain value upon that one or two ministries, and they have shut themselves off from further light upon God's Word. Now, I don't know if I could be wrong here, but I know people say, "Well, Brother Branham was all five of the fivefold ministry." Brother Branham wasn't a fivefold ministry. I'm sorry, but he was a vindicated prophet of God. He was a word prophet. He was a messenger for an age. Now, yeah, he did some pastoring. He did some evangelizing. He did some work of apostle, but he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet, a fivefold prophet. He was a messenger prophet. See? Now, I'm talking about further light as though the light is additional light. I'm talking about further understanding of the light that God has given us. In other words, we should continue to grow. Yeah. And we should continue to feed on that word which is brought by vindication. And we should continue to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. All right? So you say, "Well, we have brother so-and-so and we don't need any others." You know, that's so carnal that you sound like the Corinthian church where Paul said, "Some say that I'm of Apollos, some say I'm of Cephas, others say they're Paul," and then the Apostle Paul said, "Are you not carnal? Did Apollos die for you? Did Cephas die for you? Did Paul die for you?" In 1 Corinthians 1 and 12 is where he said it. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And again, in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? So then, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, if the light that God continues to shed abroad by the Holy Ghost is turned away because it did not come from your champion, then it shows that you have never received the light and thus the life of God, but rather the vessel only that God used. And when you resist the working of God in any form, it shows that you also resist God himself. Even Jesus himself said in John 13:20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So I say, I accept this prophet, but not this teacher, is to say I really don't trust that God can keep his word. And to say, well, I accept his teacher, but not his apostles or his evangelists or his pastors, etc., means that you are carnal, as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. And to be carnal shows the life is not there, and so they are relying only on form. Having a form of godliness, they deny the power thereof. And God told us that the power of God is his word. That's in Romans 1. Now, from his sermon, Paul, seed is not air with the shuck. Brother Branham was talking about how that Sarah tried to make the promise happen by giving her concubine to Abraham, thinking that would fulfill the promise that God had made to Abraham. Now that is just like so many people who call themselves believers today, but they think God needs their help to fulfill his promises. And that is how carnal believers always think. They do not trust for God to work out his promises sovereignly, because they really do not trust God to fulfill his own word. So they try to work them out for themselves, and in doing so, they always miss the promise. In fact, that's why they end up organized. Now, that's what Brother Branham was saying in his sermon, Seed is Not Air with the Shuck. He said, how true it is, Sarah, trying to get the promises all fulfilled, you see, in a great, like the church today, a great revival in our time, by what? By a perverted promise. How are you going to do it when God never did bless organizations? He never did use an organization. When a message went forth, and they organized it, it died right there. I challenge any historian to show me where it has ever raised again. It died right there and stayed right there. God just moved right on out of that carrier into another one. Right on out of the Lutheran into the Methodist, right on out of the Methodist into the Pentecostal, and now he's moved right on out of the Pentecostal into the sea, because it has to be the sea. You can't beat nature. There's nothing else there for it to happen but the sea. So the seed will produce itself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same pillar of fire, showing the same signs, the same power, the same God, the same miracles, the same thing. Vindicated, the Word and the Bible, just exactly. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's leading tonight. God help us to see it and believe it. Sure. Again, from his message, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown said, now what happened to Luther as soon as Luther saw the pillar of fire? Why, he followed it.
But what did he do? After Luther's day, they organized a church called Lutheran, and then it died right there on the organization, because it's just like the Catholic Church. Then the first thing you know, along came Wesley. The Pillar of Fire moved right out of the organization and went on. Wesley saw it, and away he went after it. And as soon as the first round died out, they organized it, and they called it the Wesleyan Methodist, Methodist Church. And when they organized it, it died right there. Then the Pentecostals seen it going up, not from justification under Luther and sanctification under Wesley, but they saw the baptism of the Holy Ghost back to the original blessing, and here they went after it, oh my, and went out and began to speak with tongues in the power of God and working through them. But what do? They organized it. It died right there. But now the pillar of fire is moving out. It's moving out again. Never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. Now, it's interesting because Brother Branham was starting to say it'll never organize, but he didn't. You see that? It'll never, and then he pauses. And then he says, never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. So that tells you that they're going to try to organize. In fact, Brother Branham, before he died, he said there's 17 different versions of the message today. And he told Billy Paul, he said, it only takes two people to make an organization or denomination. Get two people together. So you see, the minute men begin to talk of organizing the message on the doctrine of Christ, or the minute that they try to take over a man's ministry, whether to protect it or for whatever motive they have, right there they die. And if that ministry allows it, then that ministry dies along with them. And the pillar of fire will move right on. And those who gravitate to organization will miss the rapture. It will all be over very soon, my brothers and sisters, so be very careful not to organize what God is doing. Just let go and let God have His way. Now, let's follow through with what Brother Branham is saying here, because he really nails down the attitude that lets you know that the attributes and characteristics of organization. In Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham says, I'm looking in the face there of one of the best there is in the nation. That's right, a historian of the historians is sitting right with us. And I'll ask that man or any other man to ever show me one time that a church ever organized, but it didn't die and stayed dead. It never did rise again in the history of the church or the world. Never did. God don't want that. God wants us to be free in Him. He wants us to place where we can accept all of God, not stay on this mountain, but move out. Abraham's seed. Now you say you're against organization. No, sir. Organization is all right, but you draw a boundary line and cut everybody out. But the fellow that don't believe just like you do. The thing that we got to do is stretch out our arms to Luther, Methodist, and all, and to place where we can have fellowship with one another, while the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Till we get to that, we'll just die. Sit right here and shrivel up like an old shriveled up apple, and there you become as puckery as a persimmon, and sit around. Well, I believe so and so, and oh my, no more life coming into it. See? You see? We just can't do that. No, we've got to come and be in Christ Jesus. We are heirs, joint heirs with Him. Now, till we separate ourselves from the things of the world. So, Brother Brown, look, he's just saying, you know, people say, well, I follow so and so. Well, okay. That's it. You say you follow so and so? Okay, that's it. What about when that person dies? Then you die too. Because you're following a vessel instead of the God who led that vessel. Now in a sermon masterpiece, Brother Brown said, how many ever seen a seed of wheat start to grow? What's the first little thing? It's just exactly like the seed, but it's the husk. See, the three stages, a stalk, tassel, or the pollen, and then the husk. And then out of the husk comes the original seed. Not a seed, it was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Amen. Amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection coming back to a masterpiece again, like the one that went in. Pentecost came out of Wesley because Wesley was an organization. Pentecost come out as no organization and then turned to one. It had to make the husk. The true word of life on it was on its way then to the original grain through these stages, through the stalk, then the pollen, from the pollen into the husk, from the husk into the seed. No, and stalk, tassel, husk. Okay, living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. But when they organized the life moving out of it, that proved by all history, never an organization ever done a thing after it organized, it was dead.
That's right. Watch the light traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice what they have done. All these have done is proven by history, just exactly the way that the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Organization is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all of the history of the church after it organized but what it died. And the organization died and never did raise again. Can't you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the Word coordinating it together and proving it right here that it is the truth. That it is the truth. That life leaves the stalk to make the tassel. From the tassel it makes the husk. From the husk it goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. How noticeable this life is in it, as it travels in the corn of wheat than it is in the tree. God called his people like a tree. See, the life goes down in the tree and comes back up again. Goes down and comes back up. See, it goes down and comes back up. But in the corn of wheat, it goes up from the original stalk through the stalk, tassel, and husk. And the thing that it passed through dies, so it can't get back through it again. And what is it? It's no use anymore. It goes on to its perfection. Amen. Don't you see why he's never used an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to the other. See, they put creeds and they inject, and whosoever shall add one word or take one word, see, he's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. Now, I really love the illustration here. He says when it goes from the stalk, then the stalk begins to dry up. It goes into the tassel, and the tassel begins to dry up. It goes into the husk, and the husk begins to dry up. He said, God can't go back down through those. In other words, as soon as they organize, it dries up. God keeps moving on. The Lord keeps moving on. Now notice Brother Brown hits hard against organization. And the sad part is that people who should know better end up organizing around a certain ministry or personality instead of holding only to the Word of God and focusing on that Word and drawing the life from that Word. But to organize is death, and to organize is no different than to denominate. So to do so, you die spiritually. Even Jesus taught us that. He said, those that organize are to be gathered for the burning. You don't burn fresh things. You burn old, dried out things. You burn old, dried out things, whether wood or stalk or husk or whatever. Green shows life, and it does not burn easily. But that which is old and dried out, it burns quickly. So in Matthew 13:24, he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and they went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came, and they said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now notice Jesus points out the fact that two different types of life seed will be planted alongside of each other in the same field. The field represents the world. The sowing is done first by the owner of the field, which is Christ, and then when his enemy comes in into his field and imitates his sowing, but with a different life or different seed. In other words, one's an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, another is a corruptible, which is man's word. Notice two seeds are allowed to grow up side by side until the time of the harvest. Then a separation is to take place. The first, there will be a gathering together of the seed, which the enemy sowed. The tares will begin to be gathered together first. Now, Jesus uses the word deal in describing this binding together. The word actually means to bind by placing under obligation. Now, this binding is needed in order to control the assembly of tares. And by placing the people under obligation or binding them through fear, it takes the people from having a focus on the Word and turns them towards organization. So we see from this parable that organization binds the people, keeping them from searching further for more light than what is available in their church. This is done through programs. Look at every big church and you will see that the people are not content to come and hear the minister preach, but you will find many programs going on in those churches. The larger the congregation, the more programs to keep the people content. I've always said it. What happens is a person comes in and they say, oh, can you sing? Yeah, I can sing. Oh, good. We'll get you into the choir. Or can you teach Sunday school? Yeah, I can teach Sunday school. Okay. And then see, the people are afraid to
leave the church because they'd be, the people are obligated to them. You know, I mean, they've got an obligation. They've got an important position. And you know, they bind the people through programs. You see?
And after the tares are bound, Jesus tells us that they are then placed into bundles. Bound first and bundled, making it easier to cast into the fire for burning. He says the reapers will bind them into bundles. He never said that into a bundle, but into bundles, plural. Thus, we see the bundles further define the process that these tares must go through before they are ready for the burning. They are bound first and then bundled. The use of the plural tells us that there will be many different bundles, as there are many different denominations. Just as we see that there are many different denominations, they are gathered first, then bundled, bound into bundles, which makes them easier to cast into the fire. You know, he didn't say, go gather them together and put them in a pile. You know, a pile suggests that they're every different direction. But he said, bind them into bundles. Now, you can't bind if it's going this way and this way and this way and this way. You try to bind it, where do you start? But if you put them all in the same direction, you can bind them. Try to bind a wheat seed, a pile of wheat seeds. You can't bundle them. Put a rubber band around a whole bunch of seeds. Try it. That's your homework experience. All right, you can't do it. But you can with sticks. You can with, you know, things that have the same value, the same length, the same width. You know, it's easy to bind them. All right? Now, they go in the same direction, all having the same size or value, measure, purpose. Their union into a bundle or assembly will make them a more efficient means by which to burn them. And so we see how organization is the means by which the tares are gathered and assembled together. The church is bound first by a false word, and then by organizing around that false word, they assemble the people into a more efficient and profitable means by which the whole group can be ready for the burning. And thus, when they have captured the minds of the people through fear or organization, they cause the people to receive in their mind a certain assessment or a certain valuation, and that valuation or assessment is denomination. Thus, we should see clearly that the false vine is an organized church. It's the organized church. For organization is what binds them together. Then, if this be so, one of the main attributes of the false vine will be its ability to organize in numbers and thus utilize efficiencies in preaching their false gospel. Now, a bundle does not represent a loose-knit organization, but one which has structure and symmetry. Every stick is heading the same direction, and they are there for the same purpose, and they must conform to some standard in order to fit within the bundle. Now, let's see if this does not exactly, if this doesn't fit the picture that Jesus himself is speaking of concerning the two seeds. Because to fear is not from God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So then we can see by this that to have fear shows that you don't have a sound mind. Now in paragraph 118 of "Lean Not to Your Own Understanding," Brother Banner said, "You know the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned by it." See, that's exactly truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they learn, they lean to their own understanding. They lean on it, they believe it, they think that it's the truth. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it's the truth to you. That's right. But how do we know whether it's the truth or not? God proves it's truth. Because it's in His Word and He vindicates it. He does His own interpretation of it. How do they get to this? They do it by their culture, their education, of their understanding, of their degrees, of doctor's degrees, and so forth, that they have come from some certain seminary and they've learned these things. In other words, it's all by rote. It's all a learned habit. Because it's not of God to fear, and every time the angel of the Lord came to man, the first things out of his mouth was, "Fear not, for I have come from the presence of the Lord." We find also in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love, or mature love, casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Fear causes damage because when a person is afraid, they become bound by their fear. We read in 1 John 4 that perfect or mature love will cast out fear because it has a penalty. It has to do with your freezing and crystallizing in your thinking. Joseph began to fear that Mary had not been faithful, and so God sent his angel to tell him to fear not to take Mary to be your wife. Now, what did fear do here? It caused Joseph to doubt, and it caused him to stop moving forward with the plan that God had for him in his life. Then when they stop walking in the light, as he is in the light goes out and they dry up and become like the shuck that the wind drives away. In John 8:12 we read, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And of course, if it's got life, it's not withered away. In John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Therefore, in closing, from a man that can turn on the light, Brother Branham says, so life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke of being manifest. Then that is light on the word. See, that's what breaks. The word said so, and then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. Plant the weed out here, you put it in the basement, cover it all over, and it'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life. If it's a germinated seed, that's the same thing it is with the word. See, the word is God, and when the light strikes it, it brings the word to life again. Every age has always been that. How else could we manifest with him? He is the word. Then we must become a perfect reflection of that same word in order to manifest as he manifests. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Notice that he said, the life is the light of man. His life is his life or word. If he then is our life must come from his word. Then when his word shall manifest itself, remember he said, for when Christ who is our life shall appear, shall manifest in his true nature, so shall you, Phanaru, in your true nature, because he's our life. You see? All right. Then when his word shall manifest itself, our life must also manifest the same thing. That's why John 14:12 just means you have the same spirit. Then as Paul said, it is not really our life, but his life in us that is manifesting. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are truth. Then what is manifesting? It can only be his word. And where does fear fit in? Not at all. Fear has no place in the kingdom of God, but fear is one of the main rules that are set up to hold and maintain a large body of people in an organization. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for these thoughts that actually Brother Brown gave to us through the rising of the sun. And Lord, I had looked, and I even told the brothers the other day, we had about 4 or 5 paragraphs left, and I didn't think that I could see anything there. But you saw it, and so I'm thankful that you showed us, oh God, to focus on these things, because we're looking at life, and we know that we don't want to just stop. We want to keep walking in the light as you are in that light. So help us, Father, as we continue to walk. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee.